You have extracted a black city out of a county and said the only ones that are at fault at an issue is the city of Detroit, where 80% of the people who reside here are African Americans. Shame on you. Shame on you for leading to this level of corruption.
That's Reverend Wendell Anthony of Detroit. He's pastor at Fellowship Church and also head of the Detroit chapter of the NAACP. You know, if there were any doubts about history having its eye on the 2020 election, a blow up at a routine bureaucratic meeting last night totally ended that. This is the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. Last night, what is usually a very boring, uneventful session for the Wayne County Board of Canvassers exploded into an arena for the conflicting pressures of this year's election. One of the board's jobs is to certify election results from city and township clerks. Two Republican members of this board, Monica Palmer and Will Hartman, said that they were unwilling to do that.
If you don't have an accurate list of voters to start with, how do you know how many ballots are supposed to be tabulated? Those two are supposed to tie up.
The word spread over social media, and people packed the Zoom meeting's waiting room, which was already very crowded, for 3 hours of public comment. I mean, everybody was getting in on this, from Detroit entrepreneur Ned Stabler.
I just want to let you know that the Trump stick, the stain of racism that you, William Hartman, and Monica Palmer have just covered yourself in, is going to follow you throughout history.
To Susan Nash, the Republican elected clerk for the city of Livonia.
I am so furious right now that you are not calling this election.
Jonathan Kinlock was watching all this happen as he sat with his fellow members of the board, each separated by plexiglass barriers.
People need to understand, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, across this country, in the state of Michigan, in County Wayne, these clerks, these individuals who are responsible for administering election, they take their job seriously. And then to have someone take it so lightly and to make these charges that have come from Republicans because their candidate lost. Look, I've run for office, I've lost. People run for offices and you lose. You eat your Haagen-Dazs, you cry, you do whatever you have to do to release the anguish. But what you don't do is you don't attack the process. You don't attack the people for letting their will and wishes be known.
Ultimately, the two dissenting members of the board reversed course. But it was a sign of how little Trump supporters seem interested in backing off unsupported claims of voter fraud, and how short patience is running among Michigan's Democratic voters. So let's go back to Jonathan Kinlock. In addition to being on the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, he's also the political director for SEIU Healthcare of Michigan. Jonathan, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
When did you realize that the two Republicans on the board, Monica Palmer and Will Hartman, that they were not in favor of certification?
At the moment of their vote, because all last week, the two canvassers were basically saying that, you know, that they would certify unless there was anything extraordinary that came from the canvass. And so I believe it was like Friday, Saturday is when the tone started to change. They began to talk about having to balance to zero, but we got to get them as close to zero. And so then I started to get concerned, and the possibility that they would vote no started coming to mind.
How would you describe the mood in the Zoom room when they announced?
Oh, it was disappointment. It was anguish. It was just amazing, the energy that you felt come from the public. And once they began to have an opportunity to speak and address the board, it was just as if history lessons were being retold and explained, and the impact of that board, our board's decision on what it meant to history, what it meant to us as Black people, as what it meant to us as an entire community and county. The disenfranchisement, what that meant historically and what that meant today. So it was just a broad picture that so many people brought through their voices and participating in that meeting yesterday. It was amazing. I know oftentimes we talk about this is what democracy looked like. Last night was the best picture ever.
What do you think it was that changed Will Hartman and Monica Palmer's minds? They ultimately did relent and say that they were comfortable with certification. What changed?
Listen, you know, I've been involved in Democratic Party politics since I was a teenager, and I understand the sense of camaraderie and the team approach. But sometimes when you go into these public positions, you may get there by being associated with a party, but you have to be there on behalf of the people. I have to take my hat off to them because they were under a lot of pressure. I believe the public comments, I believe the conversation between us as we were continuing to try to work through this, I believe they wanted to find a solution to bring about the certification of this election. And that solution was to demand that the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, conduct an audit upon the completion of the certification process. And that allowed for them to do this. And I think that that was a good compromise to require that audit, comprehensive audit after the certification. And so I think that had a lot to do with getting them to feel comfortable enough to move on their previous decision.
Right. Jonathan, as you noted, quite a few of the commenters stated that they saw a refusal to certify as an undeniable effort to disenfranchise Detroit's Black voters. Monica Palmer said at one point that she would be okay with certifying every place but Detroit. I had a friend from out of town who was watching all this play out over social media, and she asked me, is this maybe the answer to institutional change, is to have people who don't agree step up and name racism when they see it in play and remind people of their place in history? What do you think of that?
I thought many of those messages were on point. None of that was choreographed. People spoke from the heart. And I think that is always the most effective way to communicate when you're trying to make the people's will known, for the people themselves to come step forward and to speak organically and from the heart. But we have to remind people who have not walked through history and having to deal with the ills and the pains that the Black community and the Brown community and, you know, all the other nationalities that have come into this country and have been met with resistance, you know. And so all I'm saying is that sometimes we need to remind people that it's easy for you to not understand the impact of your decision, but the impact of your decision has a face on it, and here are the faces. And I think that for Michigan and for where we are, we're walking through history and living history as we're making it. And oftentimes we don't realize that. And I think we will find great things written on the pages in the future as it relates to how we handled this moment in time.
Jonathan, just one more question. This deadlock was the result of two Republicans on the board of canvassers disagreeing with two Democrats on the board of canvassers. Do you think that this four-person structure with two members of the major parties is still the right structure to represent the county?
I do. It forces a decision in a matter of this importance. But you need to understand the discretion of certification has already been removed from us, taken away from us in law. Our functions as ministerial, our job is to execute the certification. I think that what had happened was these individuals were under so much pressure, but luckily the system and the integrity of these two individuals rose to the occasion to listen to the will of the people, to understand the impact of the decision, to work towards getting to a place that they could live with to bring about what should have been the original outcome in the first place. But our job is to certify. We do not have the discretion to not certify. And that action was actually illegal. That action, had it stood, would have been followed up with lawsuits, would have been followed up with actions to actually call for their removal for not conducting the performance of their duty. So it wasn't just going to end yesterday. It would have probably called for immediate removal and some of the possibly some criminal charges pursuant to Michigan election law. In Michigan election law, When you take on these responsibilities under the Michigan election law, they come with serious consequences if you don't carry them out.
In a minute, one of Michigan's most respected elections officials talks about next steps and whether those are likely to be as politicized as the county certification. We'll be right back.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
So you've heard what happened at the meeting last night. Is there any other way that this year's election certification in Michigan could go off the rails? Chris Thomas is a former Michigan elections chief. His tenure was relatively long and so well-respected, he now works in an advisory role for a lot of cities and townships on election matters. Hi, Chris.
Pleasure to be here.
What happened last night at the Wayne County Board of Canvassers? To your knowledge, has anything like that ever happened before in modern Michigan history?
Well, I've never seen anything quite like that, that's for certain. It was quite a spectacle. I think it renews one's competence in public comment section of meetings. I don't know that I've ever seen a reversal like that based on impassioned comments made by those who stuck it out and stayed with it through several hours.
What was your reaction when you realized what was happening, that these two members of the board were intended not to certify the results?
Yeah, I was disappointed to see that. I think as a counsel to the board told them, they really don't have that opportunity under the law. An unbalanced precinct is not the basis to fail to certify. The law is set up so that if, in fact, a county were to have problems and couldn't certify, then it would move to the Board of State Canvassers. So it's already anticipated that no county could withhold their certifications, or if counties had some sort of difficulty in making the deadline, that there would be a remedy.
The two members relented, we hear, in part because Secretary of State Benson agreed to undertake an inquiry into their concerns. You were at the TCF Center during Detroit's vote count, providing assistance to the city clerk. Could you just tell us what you have to say about the actual concerns that the two members brought up, that some of the people who were checked in to vote did not match who was actually voted?
What I understand is that countywide, there are basically a minus roughly 475, which means there are 475 names without ballots attached to them. That was countywide. There's close to 30, maybe more than 30 jurisdictions in Wayne County that did not balance every single precinct. And I think you'll find that across the state. We had a huge turnout, unprecedented turnout, and most of that by mail, which no question swamped many election officials. And it was through their good efforts that they dealt and were prepared to deal with it. But there's going to be a few glitches along the way. There's nothing untoward with these unbalances. A lot of people shorthand that and say, well, if it's unbalanced here, then it's unrecountable. That's not necessarily true. You will not know that until that ballot can is opened in a recount and the number of ballots are counted to see if that's the number of ballots that went through the computer on election day. And if that's the case, then it's recountable, regardless of how many names are in the book or not in the book. So it is certainly, out of 900,000 votes cast, looking at 474 votes, is not something that people should be highly concerned about.
Secretary of State Benson seemed pretty unflappable last night. She said she was calm about the process and that it would play out according to law. Did you feel that same sense of calm?
I did. I shared that calm because I know it's going to the Board of State canvassers before they reverse themselves. And the Board of State canvassers could come in and complete the canvass. Our position at the city clerk's office was fine. If you're going to come in and do that, we've been working with the county since election day, and we'll continue working with the Secretary of State and the Board of State canvassers. Our interest was in getting a good canvass. So yes, I really was not disturbed in terms of the final certification. The Board of State canvassers have no authority to deadlock and not do the job they're required to do. And I fully would have expected them to certify the election, because let's look at it. This is not just an election for president. So if they would have failed to certify the entire election for every single office on the ballot. So that was certainly never going to happen.
The Board of State canvassers canceled its meeting for today since all the counties went ahead and certified, and they are scheduled to meet on the 23rd to do their state certification work. Do you have any concerns about politics entering that state certification in a similar way?
I would hope not. They have no investigatory authority. That all comes during recounts if they are requested. The canvass is basically counting votes to compile the canvasses of the 83 counties and come up with a statewide official certification of the total number of votes that all statewide candidates and legislative districts that cross county lines received, and to make those official.
A lot of folks have wondered aloud about whether the state legislature might step in and appoint its own electors if somehow the state board did fail to certify. Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey has thrown cold water on that idea, but do you know if legally that's even possible, or would it have to go to the courts?
Well, I think there's a step there before the legislature would even be involved. There would be a mandamus case filed immediately, which is basically a cause of action that tells a government board, do your job. And it would ultimately end up in the courts, ultimately at the Michigan Supreme Court, directing the board to do what they're required to do by law. I can't imagine that the board would do that, and it's basically pretty humiliating when you take a position not to do your job and have to have a court tell you to get to work.
This has been a poster year for concerns over election security. We do have our results now. At the end of the day, how do you think it played out?
I think the security played out very well. Chris Krebs at Homeland Security is in the news now as having been fired by President Trump, did a courageous thing. He and a number of election officials around the country issued a report earlier this week saying that the elections across the United States were more secure than in any time in the past. The amount of work that's been done on cybersecurity of our elections since 2016 is literally amazing. So I think the voters should rest assured that Mr. Krebs and election officials across this country have stepped up and done what they're required to do. And it's very unfortunate that he was fired for doing a job that he was hired to do and doing it well.
Chris Thomas is a former director of elections for the state of Michigan. Chris, thank you very much.
I was happy to do it. Thank you.
That's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. Hey, if you're enjoying our new sound, we'd love to have you subscribe. You can also rate and review us. That helps other people find the show. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren with help from Jennifer Guerra and Rachel Ishikawa. Our theme music is by 14KT. Additional music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back in your feeds tomorrow.